want to just welcome everyone here tonight. Welcome. And then want to just introduce Pastor Sam to my right, Pastor Tim to my right, or to my left. And I'll get it going. And welcome to all those that are on the internet and watching either live or recorded, or maybe even a tape somebody handed to you. But it's not by accident that you're listening, because God, I believe, is looking to reach you and speak to you. This ministry was basically birthed by a call, a conviction on our hearts, and experiences, and we came to realize that, you know, we're not here to persuade anybody or build any kind of church, so to say, but we're here to bring you into a place of salvation. It's almost like our job, and the gospel's free, yep. Basically. And we're bondservants and slaves to the message, and we hope that you really take heart and listen to us and take knowledge of what we have to say, because the only agenda that we have is to be obedient to God, and the words that we speak are not of our own, but of His. And most individuals out there are starting to say, is there even a God? Well, I've been sharing, you know what? There isn't a God. So all those atheists out there, you're right. There is no God. And the reason why I say that is because you have to create Him. You have to create Him through faith in your heart. Yes, God does exist, but He doesn't exist to you. You have to create God in your heart. How many people understand that one? I want to start off in the very beginning of why we're even bringing this message across, because God is not in a religion. God is not on a mountain. God is not over there in some tabernacle or in some tent or on some shrine. God is within and all around us. But I want to say that God mostly abides all around us. He doesn't come within until you activate your faith and knowledge and begin to create God in your heart. True. You need to create Him. It's almost you call upon Him and He will come in and answer, and then He'll create a dwelling place within you. I would like to say that God's living inside of you now, but I've come to the realization that He's not until you begin to accept Him and create Him in your heart. And then He comes in and creates a dwelling place. This is why most of us are lost. We have never taken the sincerity of accepting God in our heart, accepting our Creator, a higher power that gives us the power to overcome. And we are basically walking cluelessly and thinking that we know the way of life, and maybe even the will of why we're even born, but no one really has the true answers until they adopt God and bring God into your life. Because God is the one who has the answers for you. Without God, you have no answers. And we were talking about earlier about how, you know, for one wonderful thing is that God did not give us into sin. So there's religions and doctrines that say that you're a sinner and you're born in sin and all that. You know, I want to rebuke them tonight and tell them that they have just condemned you, and, you know, you're innocent. So why should you be condemned and be called a sinner and that you were born in sin and all this other stuff, when the reality is we create sin? But through our ignorance, we don't know we're creating it. So it's almost, you know, you're innocent, and then once you know the truth, then that's when you really have to be aware of creating sin. But, you know, we are trying to bring everyone to a place where we've received this grace. And this grace is a knowledge that is not of this earth. It is a spiritual knowledge that allows us to be able to come into a spirit life, a living spiritual life, to have a complete understanding of why we're even here. what are we living for? You know, what is the purpose of living? You know, and if you ask yourself, do you have the answer? I'm going to tell you right now, you don't. You don't know why you're here. They have no clue.
No idea.
I guarantee if I pull you aside and ask you, what's your purpose and why are you here? You're going to be like,
start a family.
Start a family.
Have a nice job.
Have a nice job.
Do the right thing.
Do the right thing.
Yeah, don't hurt nobody.
Yeah, don't hurt nobody.
I don't hurt nobody.
How about make money?
Make money.
Big house.
Right.
See if I can beat my brothers and sisters.
Most don't get that, so. Right.
Be the one-ups.
But it's all superficial.
It's all superficial.
You know?
And, you know, we need to come to an understanding that there's more in life. And, you know, if I told you the main factor of why you were created and why you're here, you'll look at me with three heads. Because it is really simple.
Yeah.
It's to glorify our Creator. But the only way that you can glorify our Creator is when your hopes and your dreams, which are His to begin with, because He placed them in you, are fulfilled. So when you get your heart's desire and you fulfill all your dreams and you accomplish all those inspirations and, you know, whatever you're involved in, and you have victory over it, and you're an overcomer, and you made those achievements, you're going to be in a realm of glory. And this is, you know, about our ministry. You know, our ministry is all about understanding the glory of God and the grace of God. Yep. And when you fulfill those passions and desires that are inside of you, you come to a realm of glory. Just like Pastor Tim today, or just the other day, he. You know, his passion, one of his passions is baseball.
Softball.
Softball.
It's
baseball.
A
sport. It's a bat and a ball to me, you know what I mean? and he developed a team, and he's been doing it now for several years, and this is his passion, and it seems to be that every year they're winning the cup. You know, and they're achieving those realms of glory. And, you know, only because I truly believe he's in God. And
amen.
And what is he saying? He's giving God all the glory. Hey, we won. Let's pray, guys, before the game starts. And, you know, let's thank God for winning the game. I mean, the whole object is glorifying God. Now, that might be simple, right? You know, oh, well, I'll just start glorifying God. No, it's a true, yeah, there's a true glorification when you achieve those things that are inside of you, and you know it's His will because He placed them inside. But this only happens when you acknowledge our Creator and you bring God into existence into your life. If you don't have God brought into existence in your life, you know, you're never going to reach glory.
That's true.
Or I should put it this way. You might reach a form of glory,
which is maybe self or what have you. It's not God's glory. Okay.
And it doesn't last.
Right.
Within a day or two, you're dry.
Fades away.
You're not even going to be able to sit in it and bask for a little bit.
True.
You know, you can't reflect back and say, you know, praise God. We really had a good year that year. No, you're going to be like, we could do better. You're never satisfied. You never get that quenching taste of glory. And, you know, these things are important. And we are now going to start talking to you about joy. Because joy is a major part of the glory of God. Most of our joy is superficial, momentarily. We never really have a joy that is unspeakable, full of gladness. And those things come only in the relationship with the higher power of God, the one that we create in our heart, who exists but doesn't exist to those who don't create Him. And this is why it's so important for our listeners to begin to understand why it's so important to have God in your life. I mean, I remember those last words, go back and tell them about my Father. And it seems like the rest of my life is based on nothing more than telling you the reasons and how important it is to know God and have God in your life. And I truly understand why, because we're living in a time period of age that really everybody is starting to say that there is no God. I mean, how's our audience feel about that in itself, that statement right there? I mean, how many people do you know in today's age that you're growing up with or at work or whatever that is actually acknowledging God?
Not many.
Very little. Very little. You might have a couple here and a couple there that were brought up in maybe the religion and in their church.
They're closet gods.
The closet gods.
They're created God.
No. They're in the closet about God rather than being public about God.
They hide it, you're saying.
Well, that's a shame if they're hiding God, because
he said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you in front of the Father.
Right. I'm going to share with our audience out there that's listening on the web. One of our, what do you call these people that are out here?
Patriarch.
No, these people that are sitting in the seats.
Oh, you're talking about
our audience. Oh, somebody from our audience was saying how there are people who acknowledge God, but they're closet gods. You know, they don't come out openly and speak about God. And
they
hide
it. I
have to question, for one, do they really have a relationship with God? Because if they're closets, I know with me and my relationship, I can't be in the closet. You know, I can't keep my mouth shut. You know, I want to, the true living creator in your heart, if that relationship is there, that's what you were created for, to glorify God. So how could you actually know him and be in a closet with him?
But
he won't allow you to be in the closet with him.
But that comes back to a joy. You have a joy from a grateful heart, and that's eternal. Like you were talking about earlier, there's joy that's fleeting that you get from buying a house or buying a car or making a lot of money that just lasts for a day or two. But there's a gratefulness inside of you when you see God unfolding the wishes and the dreams that you have inside of you that lasts forever. And because you have that joy, that everlasting joy, you can't keep your mouth shut because you're bubbling over with joy. They're hiding it because there's no joy. They're hiding it because there's no peace and joy.
You know, I would say to those people that are hiding it, then for our listeners out in the audience, go see your friends and tell them, you know what, you need a foundation then.
Correct.
Maybe they just don't have a good foundation of the truth. Hey, take this. My mouth is big enough.
But you know what's interesting there too? When you have something fulfilled in your life by God and you have that joy that comes up, there then becomes an anticipation for more. And that's what I think when people say, keep rejoicing in all things. Again, I say rejoice. You know, keep that joy going, because you're anticipating God doing something else in your life. And you can hold on to that joy that you experienced, and you can expect that there's more joy.
Especially when you do something that you could never, ever do on your own.
In your own strength, correct.
You can create, and you can do things yourself, and you can have the pride of doing that. Or you can sit back and watch God move. He'll do more than you could ever ask or imagine. That's the kind of stuff we're talking about. Yep. Things that you couldn't accomplish on your own. Things that you looked at and said, there's no way it'll happen. And he does it. You tried every avenue to get there, and then you sit back and you surrender, and you say, God, I trust you. I'm just going to wait. And he does it. That's where you learn to trust him, and that's where you learn. That's where you get real peace and joy from right there.
Yeah, you just experienced something, yep, which we will keep details out because they're personal right now, yeah, and private. But a situation just happened in your life where you were going through something, and God brought glory
because
to your name.
Because I could have taken it in my own strength in the beginning and did things that would have hurt a person, but because I was counseled and told, you know, just sit back and let God do it, and I listened, God is showing me that he's doing more than I could ever ask or imagine. Where if I did it myself, who knows what would have happened? I could have got in big trouble. Mm-hmm. Because I let God do it, I had my hands are washed.
So because of your foundation, and through counsel, guidance, You receive joy.
Correct.
And this is the joy that we're trying to bring people to, because, you know, I understand when you're going through a hardship and then you have some religious guy or religious woman come up to you and say, oh, just count it all joy, brother, you know, and, you know, suck it up. And people, you know, you want to wring that person's neck. You want to just, because it's like you have no clue what I'm going through and you're over here telling me, and I know that I should have joy. You know, I feel bad if you got hurt by those individuals. But this joy comes supernaturally by knowing God, by having a good foundation of the truth and the relationship with God. This joy comes in and it just washes over you.
Correct.
It comforts you in a sense of, you know, God, everything's going to be okay.
God has my back and God has my front and he's alive and he is helping me.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times we don't just get bad news and be like, oh, God will do it. Oh, we feel good about it. No. We go to him crying on our faces and saying, God, because we believe in him, we go and cry and say, help us.
That's that relationship.
What we do is we go. We don't take everything. We don't take hard news and just take it like Superman.
Humility is a big key.
Yeah, we go and fall on our face and say, God, I can't do anything in this situation. Please help me. And we beg him. Sometimes it comes to tears. And then after you're done laying it all out, you get this peace over you. Mm-hmm. After you lay it all out and you surrender it all, the whole situation to God at his feet, and you just say, God, I can't do it. Please help me. When you get up, something happens. You release it, and he empowers you, and you get up, and you have a little faith. Might not be a lot, but it's enough to get that fear and worry out of you, and you start building confidence on that. You start building faith, and every day you grow stronger and stronger until he handles the problem. It's awesome.
You know, it's like Pastor Jim said about Pastor Sam. You know, Pastor Sam gave basically an entire situation that a lot of people would struggle with and try to do things themselves and take these things on, but he had this confidence in God saying, okay, God, you know what? I'm just going to trust you in the whole thing. And he basically just laid everything at God's feet, and he watched and saw over a period of time. God brought this miracle about unexpectedly because you weren't looking for it at the time. And that's what brought this joy about.
And let me say this. It didn't happen overnight.
It didn't.
It took months and months. We got an issue over here with this guy. It took months and months and months and months, but it had to. See, we want things happening overnight, but God has his plan. And if I had went 2 months ago or a month ago, what happened yesterday wouldn't have helped me. But because I was patient and waited for God, it took 6 months, and now it's happening.
Well, it had to do with relationship.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. Relationship is what brings this joy that we're talking about.
Yeah, character building.
Because God is a God of surprises. I mean, everybody loves surprises, don't you? And when a surprise comes, you're like, ooh, wow! You know, you got all this great joy. Well, God is full of surprises. And every time he shows up in your life, it's the least you expect.
Exactly.
Yep. It's like suddenly, you know, and then whoosh! It happens.
It is a surprise.
And if you can walk with that expectation of suddenly, you know, every day I'm like, so Lord, you know, what are you going to do today? You know, and what's going to happen today? And there's just something supernatural in that relationship that you no longer live in the world. You live supernaturally in another place.
It's like a wow moment. It's like a wow. Holy
God. It's an expectation. It's a waiting on. It's an excitement. You know that he's going to show up. You know something's going to happen. And you're just excited. And even if things tend to not go the way that you expect it, he turns all things around for the good to those who express this love towards him. And it might not be related to the same situation, but something exciting happens that takes your heart and mind away from a trouble.
Correct.
Amen. Amen.
And you live in this place of joy, and it's exceedingly abundant beyond measure of joy. And this is what I'm really hoping, that, you know, those that are following this ministry, those that are listening online or received a tape or what have you, get a hold of the purpose of this ministry, because this ministry is truly ordained by God. I mean, there are many, many ministries out there, but I don't know any that are really, I guess, showing you the way of having a relationship and why to have a relationship with God. I mean, help me out here and kind of fill in the blanks here, because I just feel that we do something much more special in obtaining a relationship and bringing someone into a place of salvation. How about our audience? Do you guys agree on that situation? I mean, do you have a deeper relationship with God, more so than you ever have through the ministry? Or, I don't know, maybe some of you had it a long time ago and you just hang out. I don't know, but...
It was spoken on Sunday that this ministry is for one reason, and see, God speaks to everybody through conviction. Everybody is God speaking through conviction. What we do
not here, until you accept them and create them in your heart, because there's people. It's been a long time.
He does draw us first. We don't go. He draws us first. So he does draw us first. So
in
he's
what aspect?
He's wooing us, and there's. He's trying to woo us. I mean,
I'm playing devil's advocate, because listen, there's people out there that are lost. They are lost. They have no idea what the voice of God is. They have no idea what a conviction is. They have no idea.
No idea what glory is.
They have no
grace
idea.
Is.
They're totally clueless.
Correct.
They're totally like bonkers in what is the feeling. Some don't even feel. There's cutters out there that are cutting themselves because they say they don't feel.
So that's our job, is to introduce you to the God in you. That's what we do. Our job is to introduce you, show you how to hear that voice, show you what his voice is, show you who his voice is, and help you find it.
It's possible.
It is. Possible. That's our job.
Listen, right now, you know as well as I do, we just had a couple young guys again, just overdose again this week on fentanyl and opioids. Hello?
Yeah, it's an epidemic. You know, they're masking their problems.
Correct.
Exactly,
because,
right.
Because they've never acknowledged God existing in their life.
Exactly. They're dropping like flies.
You know.
Now, okay, it's a bad batch. Okay, we'll blame it on the batch. How about blaming it on doing the drug?
Correct.
Period.
It was the person's choice for doing that.
Exactly.
That's right.
Something's drawing them in a depression or a place of giving up hope or a place of something, escape, to even do the dope.
Correct.
You know...
We got to get to these roots.
God created every single person in this world for one thing, for worship.
That's right.
He put a worship deep down in their spirit. Every person has it. Now, the thing that's different is that not everybody acknowledges God, and they can't bring forth that worship. So what we're doing as a ministry is we're teaching you how to truly worship God in all things.
Correct.
You know, because every single person has a longing for something. And that longing really is for God, because God put that in you. The problem is their longing gets tainted by the world, by lust,
correct,
by all these different factors that are going on. And what they end up doing is they long for these other things in life rather than longing for God.
Correct.
And what we're trying to do is when we speak the word in here, you know, we're declaring truth. It bears witness with people that are listening on this website and listening to all of our messages, because they're starting to acknowledge the longing for God. Because God even says in the Bible here that people cry out, Abba, Father. There's like a growing urn.
He says that he's drawn everybody.
Everybody.
He said he's put a draw in everybody.
Exactly.
So everybody should have a draw in them. That's what God said.
Yep.
And it's like we said earlier, you have to create God, or else he's not alive. He's not real to you. And that's what we do. We show you how to create God. We show you how to do it. We don't do it for you.
Right.
We show you how to do it by your own hopes, your own desires, your own faith.
So that you can have an individual relationship with God. Because, look, I can't have a relationship for Sam or
correct
for Pastor Jim. And I have to have it for myself.
That's right.
Same thing with the other gentleman. We all have to develop our own relationship with God to where we can hear his voice. But it starts with that longing, because it even says like a deer pants before it gets to the water.
Yep.
It's a longing to get that drink.
Correct.
Well, everybody in this world is looking to drink something.
It says to all of creation is groaning with eager expectation for the creation of the Son of God.
But they don't know what it is.
All of creation is groaning. There's a groaning in everybody, and they're trying to fill it with drugs and alcohol or whatever they're filled with. But they're all groaning. Every single person is groaning for this creation.
They're groaning, and they don't know how to get there. They don't know what it is. They don't know how to get satisfied.
And that's why we're here.
Well, if you look in this book called The Holy Bible, is a good book. It's the only book that I found that actually bears witness of what's inside of us.
It's
But in there, there's a prophet named Jesus, and that's a whole story there, and we'll talk about him maybe one day. Go on our website. You'll hear us talk about it. But he says, if you come to this water, you'll never go thirsty again.
Correct.
You see, there's a groaning inside, like, you know, Pastor Sam said, that there is nothing that is going to satisfy other than this message we're giving you.
True.
Nothing is going to satisfy this thirst, this hunger, this groan. You know, you might go turn into this, turn into that, doing whatever, but there is nothing. Nothing is going to fill you. Nothing's going to satisfy. Nothing's going to make you happy. Nothing's going to bring joy in your life. Nothing until you have a relationship with God. And if you don't have one, if you call upon his name, that's where your salvation starts. We call it salvation. The reason is because if you're in a desert and you're dying of thirst, and someone gives you a drink of water, you're going to say, you saved me. Thank you for this salvation. You saved me. It's not about your sins being forgiven or anything. Let's move on about the sin, okay? It's about you. You're dying. You're dying, or you're already dead. And I'm talking about getting resurrected, coming up into a new life, or reviving yourself back to life one way or another. And it has to have a relationship with God. It has to have a relationship with God.
And you know, the church out there as a whole has to stop bringing up sin in people's life. Stop condemning people, thinking that they, and putting sin on them.
Yeah, like Pastor Sam said earlier, the guilt and the shame. You know, the guilt and the shame has got to stop. And maybe, you know, through generations and, you know, peers, you should have did this, you should have did that. Why did you do this? Why did you do that? And they go run away, and they feel that they're not worthy. They feel that they shouldn't live anymore. They want to commit suicide, you know, whatever.
You know, it's funny because I spoke about this last week. There was a fella that I know that was claiming to be an atheist, and this religious fella got on board with this guy, and all he was doing was bashing him and quoting scriptures and trying to bring condemnation on this fella rather than really bringing a truth that, you know, God really is inside of you, and if you can just listen to your heart, that's where God's commandments are, and you can hear his voice. You know, and trying to bring him into a relationship, he was just bombarding this fellow with a bunch of scripture and about him being a sinner and he's a bad person and all this nonsense, that it didn't win him to anything. I'm sure it probably pushed him further into atheism rather than winning him to God.
Yeah, well, that's a tactic of the church, and it's a tactic of the world too, to use manipulation and control to get what you want. It's not something new. It's not just in religion. It's in the world. Yeah. Bosses do it. Wives do it. Husbands do it. They manipulate and control each other to get what they want. And it's a learned behavior. And it doesn't just stop in the church. It's everywhere. And it's manipulation and control, and it's called witchcraft. And it's me making you feel guilty for not doing something so you'll do it. That's what guilt, that's what it does. I put guilt on you.
Will do it?
So, yeah, so he'll do it. If I guilt him, he's going to do it because he feels bad. I made him feel bad. I made him feel guilty. So, I'm going to do it now. Instead of, don't worry, I got it. I'll handle it. No, you're saying.
I know what you're saying, like, by them quoting scriptures and then putting them down.
Not just scripture, in everyday life.
Is that going to make him go to religion or whatever?
Well, they're trying to convert them over to Christianity or whatever religion that they're a part of. And really, people get turned off. They're just like, you know what? I don't need to hear it because I don't feel any better.
You're going to burn in hell.
Yeah, you know, it's like, all right, you're trying to make me feel guilty and scared to come to know God because he's going to punish me for not knowing him. And that's wrong. It's
correct.
Wrong because he just didn't give them a knowledge yet.
Right.
You know, how can you punish somebody if they don't have a knowledge of it?
You can't. Why I want to emphasize on the grace.
Right.
You know, right now I look at we're at a new age. Whether you like it or not, people out there, we're in a new age.
Yeah.
And this new age is creating people with a different mindset and a heart set of not doing anything wrong. And it's true. Nobody's doing anything wrong. Everybody, in my eyes, are good people.
Yeah.
And we all mean to do well. Nobody means to do bad. Even people who do bad don't mean to do bad. You know, they lose their temper and they feel bad about losing their temper.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and they feel bad after the fact. But there's no need for us to keep piling. You know, you shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't. Let's move on.
You know,
you're not a sinner anymore.
I have two
There's
kids.
No
one's seven, one's five. Okay, to them everything is good.
Right.
You know, they're curious. They want to learn. They want to touch and feel things. But as parents, sometimes we can restrict them by law, saying maybe we did something that we know that maybe it didn't go the way we wanted, and
mm-hmm.
we're trying to put that on them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned through my lessons is to back off of them and communicate with them.
Mm-hmm.
Say, you know what, it's okay to do it, but you know what, just be careful.
Right.
You know, don't think it's a bad thing that you're mm-hmm. curious, that you want to have scissors in your hand, you want to cut paper, or you know what, you want to jump on the couch or what have
mm-hmm.
you. You know, because the first thing we're doing is, you know, we're scared they're going to fall off the couch.
Yeah.
You know, but that's a fear set in us, not in them, because they're doing it and they're laughing and having
yeah.
fun.
And we'll even say, you're going to fall and break your neck if you don't stop. You're going
right.
to smash your head open.
You know,
and we create that.
Man,
I got
to change the way I'm thinking, breaking the springs.
But it's the same thing in religion. They put these laws
correct.
Because out of fear, they're trying to put fear on people, saying, oh, well, you got to know God because he's going to smite you because, you know, you didn't acknowledge him or whatever. No, that's not the truth. He wants you to acknowledge him, but he woos you.
Correct.
God is a wooer, you know, and he woos your heart, and he woos you through circumstances in life and things like that. And he's not there to hurt you. He's there to love you.
Yeah.
You know, and he uses his spirit, the Holy Spirit, that comes in like a gentle breeze, you know, and it's not there to grab you and force you to do anything. That's why he gives you that free will, you know, where
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe it's pricking your heart to want to know him, and some people resist because maybe they have a relationship fear, you know, because look, there's a lot of relationship fear with God too, you know.
Sure.
Oh, I'm not in control of my life anymore, so I don't want to come to know God.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. Or I'm going to have to do something and I don't want to do it.
Right.
Or, you know, I have to leave my friends or
whatever it is.
I got to stop smoking.
Yeah. Oh, I can't drink a beer anymore.
Yeah. Which we know that's not true. None of that.
Right.
You know, God will move on your heart to lay things down. And
absolutely.
He's the one who cleanses us. It's not our job to cleanse you or the church's job to cleanse you. You know, not to lay that law on you, but to basically follow your own heart.
Yep.
But, you know, getting back to this relationship and then why it's so important is because of the fact that if we're honest with ourselves, you don't have joy. You don't have joy.
Don't have joy.
Your joy comes through partying.
Yeah.
Or your joy comes through, you know,
TV,
a new outfit.
Your next goal you accomplish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or a goal you accomplish, right.
Yeah, or your next vacation or, you know, whatever it might be. You know, there's a joy that doesn't require anything. It's a state. It's a place. It's a mindset. It's a heart set.
Gratefulness.
And you enter in. You actually enter in.
You have to put yourself in that.
Yeah. Yep. You actually come into it. But the only way is through God. He's like the doorway.
Yep.
He's the doorway of this life that is inexpressible, and it's just overwhelming, and it is very, very joyful when you have full, complete understanding. And we're here to help you and guide you. And so I know that Pastor Sam and Pastor Tim would love to hear from those that are listening online or out there on a tape or what have you. You can somehow reach us through our website and, you know, allow us to help you if you're far away and it's hard for you to get here. I truly believe you need to be a part of the ministry, to get into the building, to sit in these seats, to experience the service itself, having God minister to you through us, or be able to have that place of the supernatural, the angelic realm of heavenly hosts, you know, and it's real. It's real. It's no different than, I don't know, it's supernatural.
You know, Pastor Sam, Pastor Jim, myself, and the other people here, we'd love to hear from you because we know you have questions, or you wouldn't be listening to our audios and tuning in live or tuning in on the web. No question is a wrong question. No question is a dumb question. You know, we'd love to hear from you so that we can help provide feedback and bring some truth into your life that you can apply and that you can come into a relationship with God to where you're not wondering, is there God, or is this all of life that life is, you know, because life is abundant, man. I mean, there's plenty of life that you can come into if you acknowledge God and have a relationship with God. I mean, you know, it's teeming within. You know, it's not out there, it's within. You know, but you have to acknowledge Him first, and it takes humility to acknowledge God because you can't see Him, you can't hear Him, but you have to have faith to acknowledge Him and say, you know what, I know there's a God. God, just show me yourself. Mm-hmm. Show me how evident you are in my life. Show me that you're real inside of me. You know, give me something here. You know, and God will, because it's a cry in your heart.
Yeah. You know, you brought a big point up. It takes faith. And faith is a substance that begins to create.
Yep.
And if you don't have that substance of faith, it's supernatural. It's something that the mind can't comprehend because our mind isn't as bright as
our spirit.
Yeah, as our spirit. Yeah. The spirit knows all, but our, you know, the mind
is enmity between God. The separation. There's no connection.
Yeah,
there's the heart is. Yeah.
Yep. And so you just have to take this belief and begin to really apply it. Look, there are realms of the supernatural that we have never even reached or touched. And if there are people out there that are into yoga or meditation, there might have been times where you even reached that place of I want to call it self-hypnosis, really, to be honest with you. But you might reach that place of an awareness that your spirit has been taken out of your body and have moved on into another dimension of some sort or another. You know, there's a long story about this, and maybe I'll share one day, but, you know, we have to come to a place of realizing that we are truly spirits, a living spirit trapped in a carnal flesh nature. And we need to bring this spirit out and bring it alive. And right now, we're all trapped into a carnal shell of nature. And that shell of nature has to be broken and shattered so the life of the spirit can live. And the only way the life of the spirit can live and you have a life is it starts with faith. And faith is a substance that brings into existence that doesn't exist. So if you look at yourself right now, the spirit of you doesn't exist yet. It's trapped, and it's inside a shell of nature, I'm going to call it. And faith begins to break that nature and shatters that shell off of you, and it breaks off. And then the spirit of who you are begins to rise up and take form and takes identity. And through that, you can see, you can hear differently, see differently, think differently. and feel differently. The nature of the shell is restricted, and it's literally in bondage.
It has limitations.
It's in bondage. Big term, yep. Yeah, it has limitations. And it has limitations on sight, limitations on hearing.
Your life.
Limitations on even taking risks. Because of the fear factor that is camped around the shell of flesh. And it robs you and it steals from you and it doesn't allow you to be who you really are.
It's an emotional nightmare of roller coasters, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down.
It's insane. And we're trying to bring the reality of life to you. Now, I don't know if we'd be more successful if we just take God completely out of it, because you know the people out there, as soon as they hear God, they're like click, they shut it off. As soon as they hear any kind of religion, click, they shut it off. But you can't deny this truth. It is God. I'm not going to sugarcoat it in any way, shape, or form. We know that God takes forms of the creation, the universe. You know, but we're not going to call it the universe. We're not going to call it, creation or what have. We're going to call it God. And bring it right to the core of this higher power. And I can't go and apologize for religion enough. I mean, I feel like I overexerted myself in apologizing for religion. I'm so sorry religion caused these problems. I'm so sorry that there are men and women out there that are just gung-ho hypocrites about the relationship of God and their giftings and their so-called prophetic prophecies and all these other things. There's this one guy who supposedly looked upon as some prophet in the religious sect, and he prophesied something about a nation's president and all that, and it didn't happen.
How about the one who prophesied end of the world twice?
Yeah.
Same guy, end of the world twice.
Yeah.
You know,
means he was still here twice.
I feel really bad. I feel bad, and I can't apologize enough. I'm sorry for those out there that hurt and scorned the name of God.
Yeah, because that's what he says, using God's name in vain is by speaking out of your flesh and saying, God's saying that this is what's going to happen, and it never comes to pass.
Yeah.
You know, and it's saying, well, was that your flesh or was that truly God? Well, God will make it come to pass because he says my yes is yes and my no is no. You know, so we don't, in here, we don't try to perpetrate God, you know, and just speak babble to people just to make them feel good and everything else. It's based on the inspiration that's within us, because that's God. God has an inspiration in it. We speak it out, and we've always seen what's spoken come to pass. It doesn't mean it's going to happen today or tomorrow. It happens, right, though. It does come to pass.
And it's like Pastor's saying, you know, we apologize for those people, and the ones who've been hurt, we apologize to you, but you have to move on.
Right.
You can't just lay there wounded and crying.
And say there's no God.
And not keep searching. He said, if you seek for me, you will find me. If you seek with your whole heart. And listen, many of you seek for him and you hit brick walls of bad religion, but it doesn't mean you stop. You got to keep going forward. You got to keep persevering and moving. Life's about building a character. And what about the character of those who quit and just let life beat the crap out of them? No, you got to stand up and move forward. God brought you here because you're persevering. He brought you to this ministry because you have not given up yet. So that's a sign right there to tell you have made it. Now listen to the words that we speak in here, and you're going to attain this relationship with God like you never experienced in your life. But don't lay there and just lay there in your own tears. Get up and move on. It's time. You know, life's a choice.
It's true.
You can choose right now to lay there and be beaten and be bitten by religion and bloody, or you can choose to get up and pick yourself up, shake the dust off, and start walking forward again. That's your choice. Life's a choice.
And if you're hearing us tonight,
yeah,
for the first time, then maybe that's God showing you that he finally brought you to the green pasture. Because we're apologizing for your past hurts. we're apologizing and saying we're sorry for those that are out there that basically ridiculed and hurt the name of God. And we're saying to you, give us a chance. And, you know, we're not asking you for anything.
Nothing.
We're just asking you to listen.
Yep.
And apply to what
we're asking you for your awareness.
Yeah. You know, nobody's, look, we've been tried and tested before we were even out to talk to you. It's not like, you know, somebody decided to just put us into ministry or something.
Yeah. We've all came from bad ministries where we were all beat up.
Yeah.
Every one of us.
And yeah. And we were put into, you know, we're working on 20 years. Yeah. 20 years. You know, that must mean something.
Right.
And, you know.
I think it's diamonds, isn't it?
And well,
in marriage.
Well, I know it says something that, you know, we're declaring this from the heart. And we're speaking from personal relationship. If we've been in this for 20 years and broke, not making a fortune from...
We have a little awareness.
I would say that there's a fire burning inside of us that is undeniable. And that should be evidence to those who are listening that there is a fire burning and it hasn't went out. And there were times, and I'll be honest with our listeners, there was times where I wanted to hang my hat up and say, maybe it's just not meant to be, and I got salvation, and I'm happy for the truth, and, you know, thank you, God, for saving me. But, you know...
There was still a fire inside.
That fire, exactly right, Pastor Tim. Yeah. That fire was burning, and it burnt the self-pity, I want to call it, yeah, out of me.
Yeah.
Because look, we carry that nature shell, and that fire burnt that self-pity and gave me the strength to go the next day and the next day.
I'm glad you like saying that, because it's like somebody out there that doesn't have a job and they really want to get a job, and they go to this seminar, they hand their resumes out, never get a call, right? They go to the next one, same thing happens. Is that person, should they quit? Should they stop because there's a burning passion in there to get that job? Should they just shut it down and just say, hey, you know what? Let me go collect unemployment now.
Yeah.
Or, you know, should they just keep going and going, because eventually they're gonna land that job? Well, it's the same thing with God. You know, when you have that burning passion to want to know him, and you've been snake bit maybe by a church or a ministry or some kind of sect or whatever you were involved in, should you give up trying to pursue God,
right,
and trying to develop a relationship with him over one instance or maybe two instances? No.
Yeah.
Pursue him.
Yeah.
Because God wants to make himself evident in your life. He wants to make you make himself real in you, because it's not about a religion. It's not about a sect. And it's not about being snake bit by what happened in the past.
Mm-hmm.
It's about now. It's about having that burning passion fulfilled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you had to go through what you went through to build your character.
To build your mm-hmm. character.
You know, we're preparing us for an everlasting life.
Mm.
Yep. Being prepared for all eternity in heaven. Mm-hmm. And if we're not perfected and our character's not right on earth, we ain't entering in.
Right.
And we go through things. We learn obedience by the things which we suffer. Not the things we overcome, not the things we attain or we accomplish. You learn by the things you suffer. And that's how you build character. And Jesus himself suffered many things. We all know the story. What's the difference between us and him? We suffered many things also, but we persevered and moved forward. Washed the dust off our feet and just kept stepping forward, just kept walking and never stopped. And that's the way you got to be in this world, because the world will beat the crap out of you.
You know, I'm glad you brought up about Jesus, because in the book here it says that Jesus ministered to many people, but he spoke in parables. Because he wanted God to open up ears and let them hear. And he didn't even give them really any solid food of scripture or truth.
No.
He just spoke in parables and said, okay, if they have an ear, God, open up their ear and let them hear what you're trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't care that people rejected what he was saying.
He didn't care.
He kept going forth because he had a passion. It was a passion that was burning inside of him for God.
It even said 5,000 were following him. And when he spoke parables, many left him because of his strong words. And he didn't say, hey, go get those guys. He was like, look, those with an ear are going to hear. Those with an ear are condemned already.
Yep. Yeah. So we're speaking to the ones with the ear out there.
Yeah. All three of us, and Kurt, as Pastor Kurt's not here tonight, but, you know, we have a burning passion to want people to know God. And we're going to keep speaking the truth. And if you hear, that's great. I mean, I hope it brings you salvation, because I know it will if you listen. But if you don't want to listen, we don't care.
We're going to keep doing it.
We're going to keep doing
it.
We're not going to get discouraged and say, hey, nobody's listening, because there's a lot of listeners that log onto our website.
Amen.
All the time.
Amen. You know? You got a choice. You can come in and listen, or you can ignore it. But we're never going to stop. Never.
Yep. Amen. Well, I give all God the glory because of that fire.
That's it.
You know, that fire is put a love passion, and it's almost like pursuing that lover. You know, you're just not going to stop. You'll cross every mountain and, you know, sail across every sea to obtain it.
I was reading a thing today where it said, have you, everyone's taken that 4-hour drive to spend the hour with the one they love. Everyone's taking that 4-hour drive to spend the hour with the one they love. And that's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. There's a four, you know, your girlfriend's 4 hours away. You take that 4-hour drive, even if it's just for an hour. That's the kind of love we're talking about here.
That's true.
So if you're,
that before.
Yeah, you're the one I'm thinking of when I said that. He's right here.
If you're an hour away or 4 hours away, take that drive. Come out and visit us. If you're so far away, please reach out. We'd love to hear from
you. Email us.
Email, whatever it might be. We're going to try to work on our website. We're going to try to do some creative things in social media advertisement, some kind of thing where our ministry website will pop up on, you know, Facebook and, you know, Instagram. Twitter or whatever, and, you know, and Pastor Sam he's looking on taking some challenges, and I'm blessed to have him work alongside of us, because I am not computer geeky or anything. And so looking forward, we're going to try something new with our website, and we're going to try to reach more people out there. And those that are listening, please tell your friends, because right now we're depending on word of mouth and passing over those, you know, torches. Hey, listen to this site. Listen to these guys. Look, they got nothing but truth to them. And it's, you know, and hopefully we touched your life in tonight by just giving you those nuggets and letting you know that there is something greater and better than where you're at right now. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. And that's a cut.